of all the aspects of this very dense gospel text in chapter 8 of John. This part goes from 28 to 30, 21 to 30, and we'll move on tomorrow. Now, the reason why John has these dialogues here, these confrontations, these conflicts, if you will, he records them, is to lead us into faith. Twice in this one passage, Jesus claims, "I am." When Moses asked Adonai, "What is your name? So I can tell the people when I go back." And God said, "I am." So Jesus is once again making a very powerful claim. And he says that when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. The fruit of that act of love in which Jesus died and in which he is fixed forever is that those who believe will know that Jesus is I am. They will know it. See, faith is a way of knowing. When we make an act of faith, our movement of our spirit, if we're making a real act of faith, doesn't stop at the words, Jesus is I am. All right, I assent to that proposition. It doesn't stop there. As Aquinas says, in every act of real knowledge, the mind stops in the reality being revealed by those words. A body falls at 32 feet per second per second. There's a reality there. The mind stops at the reality, not the words. Now, this has been the scourge of Western thought for about four centuries. And something that the Lord is in his mercy starting to turn around. In other words, to believe, I believe that Jesus is I am. I believe that Jesus is the eternal living Son of God. If my spirit is moving as it should when I make an act of faith like that, it rests in the reality of Jesus, not the words. And so the whole effort of our Christian life is to have these words of Scripture start to pull us into the realities. That's what it's all about. And it's from that that the church has lived. It's for that, you know, that the church, there are martyrs who would not turn over their Scriptures to the pagans. They died rather than turn over the biblical text. It's that precious. It's that special. And so, see, we're invited today. It says here, when you lift up the Son of Man. That's why we have the first reading today from the book of Numbers, where when the people sin, God tells Moses, make a bronze serpent and those who and put it up, lift it up. And then those who look on that will be saved. What are they looking at? They're looking at the consequences of their own sin. Why are these serpents around? Because they complained against God and against Moses. And so these serpents are all around killing them. And God says, let them look at the result of their sin and be changed, and they'll be healed. Look, really look. Again, it doesn't mean, oh, there's a bronze serpent, I look good, I hope, I wish me luck. No. It means, as we've said before, you know, seeing is a human act. It's not enough that the light waves bounce off Wendy and go into my eye. It doesn't mean I see her until I say, I see Wendy. And so to look means I look. I see, And what do I see? I see the love of God that has taken upon himself my evil so that I can be free of it. That's when we lift up the Son of Man. And when we lift up the Son of Man, when we let the reality of who he is and what he has done for us and where he is now enter into our spirit, you see, then we know. Then we know. Can you see how the church has led us, as it does every Lent, from how to pray and fast? You see, all the way through now to saying, look, look on the cross and understand. And understand the incredible depth of evil and the overwhelming power of love. Look, see it. Let it enter your heart, come into you. We Christians make quite a gamble, you know. We say that the greatest reality and the greatest reality in the whole of creation is love. Not vengeance, not pride, not pleasure, not status. The greatest is love. And then we're challenged to try to live that. And we're right. But it takes quite a risk to live it, right? A little bit of love is okay, but I mean, this guy just did me in. I've got to get after him. That's where most of us are. Not Jesus. He forgave those who had just put the nails in his hands and feet. And that's looking on the cross and seeing him and understanding and knowing. We're moving now into this time of mystery when God himself brings about in this world a new effect of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The church celebrates this. The church enters into this mystery. We renew our baptismal vows, which means we die to sin, we die to Satan, and we believe. What does Jesus warn these people about here, you know? You belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you will die in your sins if you don't believe. If you don't yield to this truth and let it govern your life. This is a death-dealing ascent to assent to the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is God. And that in an act of love, he died in great suffering to free us, to free me from my sin so that I can live forever with him. That's the name of the game. That's it. And there is no other future for a human being except darkness. I believe that. You see, faith is a way of knowing. And that's the precious thing we have. You know, so today, let's just think about this. Huh? It's Tuesday, which means on the rosary we meditate on the Passion. And ponder this. Huh? Well then, if we want to know that he is I am, we have to lift him up. That is, we have to agree to that act of love on the cross and all that it implies, because agreeing to that is not a spectator sport. It means we get in on it. We agree to it. This is the way, and I too have to die to live to God. And the difference is that he's done this already, so we're never without someone by our side.